I want you to turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 30.
El libro de Isaías, capítulo 30.
And I want to speak with you a message entitled, Listening for God's Voice.
Vamos a oír el título de Escuchando al Señor.
Listening for God's Voice.
Escuchando la voz del Señor.
I want us to begin reading in Isaiah, chapter 30. And verse 18. Isaiah 30 and verse 18.
Capítulo 30, versículo 18. Isaías.
Isaiah. I'll wait for Brother Pedro to get there. So I can read it in Spanish. You know, I keep saying how much I want to be able to speak in Spanish. It's my parents' fault. I blame them. They didn't raise us understanding Spanish. They had such a hard time learning English when they were kids in school. They said, we're not going to do that to our kids. So they taught us only English. And they used the Spanish language as the secret language. I can understand it very well, but when I speak it, I kind of torture it and butcher it and all that kind of stuff. And so, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. You ready, Brother Pedro? Good. Starting at verse 18, it says, therefore the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore he waits on high to have mercy on you.
Por eso el Señor los espera para tenerles piedad. Por eso se levanta para mostrarle compasión.
For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are all who long for him.
Porque el Señor es un Dios de justicia. Dichosos todos los que en él esperan.
O people in Zion, inhabitants in Jerusalem, you shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you.
Pueblo de Sion, que habitas en Jerusalén, no llorarás más. El Dios de piedad se apiadará de ti cuando clames pidiendo ayuda tan pronto como.
Though the Lord has given you bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet he, your teacher, will no longer hide himself, but your eyes shall see your teacher.
Aunque el Señor te da pan y adversidad y agua de aflicción, tu maestro no se encontrará más, con tus propios ojos lo verás.
Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left.
Ya sea que desvíes a la derecha o a la izquierda, tus oídos percibirán a tus espaldas una voz que te dirá.
Listening for God's voice.
Escuchando la voz del Señor.
Father, I ask in these few moments that you would speak to your people in a very clear, in a very profound way. We ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to speak your word, Lord, and I pray that you would take and remove from our minds distractions that would hinder, Lord, what your word has to say. We pray for the blessing upon your word. Let it not return void, we ask. In Jesus' name, and everyone said,
amen,
amen and amen. This portion of scripture in Isaiah finds the children of Israel struggling with their relationship with God.
Encuentra a los hijos de Dios batallando para escuchar la palabra del Señor.
Idolatry has now begun to impact those in Judah.
La idolatría ha impactado mucho en la ciudad de Judea.
Sadly, many of their hearts have turned to other gods, small g.
Tristemente, muchos de ellos se han ido a seguir a otros dioses con la chica.
These idols represented, to be honest with you, demons, if you will. Yeah, the idols represented demons.
Estos ídolos representan a los demonios.
The scripture actually says behind every demon or behind every idol is a demon.
La escritura dice que todos estos ídolos hay un demonio atrás de ellos.
And so the children of Judah, or the Israelites, had begun to turn in their hearts away from God.
Y todos los hijos o los israelitas estaban volviendo a esos ídolos.
And it's really a sad thing when you think about it. These were a people who knew God.
Y es muy triste al saber que estas personas estaban haciendo cuando ellos conocían al Señor.
There was no other people on the face of the earth that enjoyed this kind of relationship with God.
Que no había otra gente, otra generación que adoraba al Señor.
No one else. They were giving the promises and everything else, they alone.
Que no había otra generación, otros pueblos al que habían prometido este reino.
And yet, sadly, with this knowledge of God, they were turning to these fake idols.
Y igualmente, de todas maneras, decidieron seguir a estos ídolos.
I don't want you to misunderstand something here.
No quiero que malinterpreten estas cosas.
When we read the Old Testament and we read about their idolatry,
cuando vivimos de estos,
when we read about their idolatry,
cuando leemos de las idolatrías y de estas,
yeah, in the Old Testament, we sometimes think they had totally forsaken God.
Muchas veces pensamos que han abandonado al Señor.
But what many of them were doing was they were mixing their idolatry with their worship of God.
Pero lo que estaban haciendo, estaban mixteando la idolatría en la palabra del Señor.
So many of them claimed to know God, but they also had these other idols along with them just for in case God would fail them.
Muchos estaban enseñando la palabra, pero de todas maneras ponían estas idolatrías por si acaso les fallaba el Señor.
And so in many ways their hearts were very far from God.
So en muchas formas sus corazones estaban muy alejados de ellos.
Because if they knew their God, they would know how much God is a jealous God.
Porque si ellos conocieran al Señor, ellos deberían de saber que el Señor es un Señor celoso.
So for them and through Isaiah, judgment was right at the door.
Y por medio de Isaiah, el juicio estaba a sus pies.
Their sin had brought them to the place where God could not withhold his judgment any longer.
Y el pecado estaba muy, muy, muy grande que Dios no podía ya poderlos ayudar.
And so what we must understand is that there was judgment coming their way because of their sin.
Y tenemos que entender que por eso el juicio ya venía para juzgarlos.
Many people today who don't believe in God,
mucha gente que no conoce al Señor, que no cree en el Señor,
they look at the Old Testament and they point to God as if he's this ruthless, mean tyrant.
Apuntan y dicen que el Señor en el Viejo Testamento era un Señor muy rudo, muy malo.
And so they use verses like we find in the prophets, and yet they kind of forget the reality of the sinfulness of those to whom God brought judgment. they forget that these people deserve judgment.
Que se les olvida que toda esta gente merecían el juicio.
Whenever God destroyed a whole civilization that we read in the Old Testament,
cuando Dios borró del mundo estas civilizaciones,
is because they were ready for judgment.
Eran porque estaban listos para el juicio.
When the Israelites got rid of the Canaanites were ready for judgment.
Cuando los israelitas se borraron el mapa a los cananitas, era porque ya estaban esperando el juicio.
The world was ready for judgment when Noah built the ark.
El mundo estaba esperando el juicio cuando Noé estaba haciendo el arca.
And now Israel is ready for judgment because they had forsaken the living God.
Ahora Israel estaba listo para el juicio porque estaban ignorando al Señor.
And what we must understand is, yet in the midst of all this judgment to come,
y lo que tenemos que entender en todo esto, cuando el Señor estaba listo para hacer el juicio,
these scriptures come jumping out in the middle of judgment.
Las escrituras se brincan fuera de, entre las palabras.
The word says, God longs to be gracious to you.
El Señor
it says he waits on high to have mercy on you.
Espera en lo alto para tener compasión de nosotros.
And he says, how blessed are all who long for him.
Y dice que qué somos bendecidos todos los que queremos.
And what I want to speak with you today is that God not only longs for you, He wants to speak to you. In the midst of judgment that was about to come their way, the Lord says, you will hear my voice behind you saying, walk in this way.
El Señor dice que a pesar de que estaban a punto de hacer el juicio, Él te decía en tus espaldas que caminaras con él.
For the lack of time, you can read on to verses 23 and 26.
La falta de tiempo, pueden leer el versículo 23 y 24.
And you'll see how God wanted and desired to bless and prosper his people.
Y van a ver cómo Dios deseaba que su gente prosperara.
The Lord wants to bless you here this morning.
El Señor quiere bendecirte hoy en esta mañana.
He wants to have your ear and speak to you.
Él quiere abrir tu voz y hablar contigo.
But he waits for you to long for him.
Pero él espera que tú le hables primero.
He doesn't just get you and turn your head towards him and say, come to me.
Él no te voltea la fuerza y te dice que hables con él.
But because he wants you to love him, he gave you a choice. But the moment you and I begin to go after the Lord with all of our heart, we will begin to understand the very longing of God's heart. God truly does care for you.
Dios de veras se preocupa por nosotros.
And so the Lord wants to speak to us this morning.
El Señor quiere hablar con nosotros esta mañana.
In the book of John chapter 10,
el libro de Juan, capítulo 10,
the scripture declares that his sheep know his voice.
La escritura dice que sus borregos escuchan su voz.
And this is very descriptive of how sheep really are.
Y esto es muy descriptivo en cómo los borregos.
They're very quick to follow their shepherd.
Son muy rápidos en seguir a su pastor.
But they will turn away from a stranger.
Pero ellos corren cuando un extraño les habla.
And so he said, my sheep know my voice.
Y dice que sus borregos conocen su voz.
And so the Lord wants you to know his voice.
El Señor quiere que ustedes conozcan su voz.
He wants you to come into relationship with Him so that you can hear from Him. But He also wants to hear from you. So how does God speak to us anyways? And there's many different points I want to say to you. Don't worry, I'll say them pretty quick. C.S. Lewis said this.
C.S. Lewis dijo esto.
He said, God whispers to us in our pleasure.
Dios nos habla muy despacito en nuestro placer.
He speaks to us in our conscience.
Habla con nosotros en nuestras conciencias.
But shouts to us in our pain.
Pero nos grita a nosotros en nuestro dolor.
Think about it. Listen to what C.S. Lewis said. He said, God whispers to us in our pleasures.
El Señor nos habla despacio en nuestros placeres.
Speaks to us in our conscience.
Nos habla en nuestras conciencias.
But He shouts in our pains.
Pero Él grita cuando nosotros tenemos dolor.
God speaks to all of us as His children.
Dios nos habla a nosotros.
And so I just want to say just five quick ways in which God speaks to us. Number one is through His Word. If you're not a person of the book, don't expect to hear God. We need to be a people that are reading and understanding His Word. Psalm 119:105 says this. It says, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It says, Your word is a lamp to my feet.
La palabra es una lámpara a mis pies.
And a light to my path.
Una luz en mi camino.
You see, the Lord, through His Word, will give you and me direction.
Amen. El Señor en su palabra nos va a dar dirección.
When you have a life in the Word, and you are questioning, or you're wondering what's going on, or you need God's direction.
Cuando en tu vida tienes palabras o preguntas, en la palabra te va a dar.
God can use His Word to speak to your situation.
El Señor usa sus palabras para dar dirección.
I've always said we have a Pentecostal clock. It goes too fast. Quick story. The president of the Bible school that I was a part of, she was married at a she was about maybe 30 years of age when she got married. And in her marriage, she was married for 11 years. She only had a short marriage. Her husband passed away because of something he had contracted in the military. And so when he passed away, she was heartbroken. She loved her husband. But the Lord had spoke to her and said she would have many children. It was from a scripture found in Isaiah. And yet the scripture said it would be the barren that would have many children. And so she was wondering, how can that be, Lord? She's just loving God with all of her heart, and God speaks to her from the Word. And God said, you're going to have many children, and yet she couldn't have any. She met David Wilkerson in New York. She began to work in a women's ministry there. They wanted to get the women out of the city so that they can be away from the temptation of the city. They were looking for property in Pennsylvania. And they had a decent deal for this large piece of property. But then they said, we're not going to be able to bring the women all the way from the city all the way to here. It's just going to be too much. And she always said, I don't know why I said it. But she said, what about a Bible school here? And David Wilkerson thought on it for a little while. And it wasn't but a year or two later they started Mount Zion School of Ministry. All of those that came through that school, she would begin to call her kids. And God would remind her that she would have many children. God can speak to you from the Word. When you're near to Him, He'll speak to you in your spirit. Not just from the Bible, but in your spirit. And when He speaks in your spirit, it's not an audible voice. And yet you can be in the midst of all kinds of noise and it's louder than all that noise. But He can speak to you. When I was a young Christian, I was wearing a bunch of Christian t-shirts. I wanted to tell everybody I'm a Christian with my shirts. And one day I was walking in the backyard praying and seeking the face of God. And I remember where I was standing and the Lord spoke to me. And He says, you don't have to wear t-shirts that speak of me. You live your life for me in such a way, in such a way that when people look at your life, it speaks of me. Now, I didn't go and burn all my shirts, don't misunderstand. But He spoke to me. I remember as a young Christian, I would hear others, especially Pentecostals, saying, oh, God said. And I was like, I want to hear God like that. And I remember I would even weep tears. Lord, I want to hear your voice. And yet I didn't even understand He was already speaking to me. When you're intimate with God,
yes,
you will grow in tune to His voice. Thirdly, He'll speak to you through prayer. He will speak when you're speaking to Him. Sometimes, fourthly, He'll speak to you through circumstances. Sometimes we're striving to push open a door and we're saying, God, I want to go through this door, and He keeps it shut. And that's the Lord saying, it's not that one I want you to go through. Alexander Graham Bell said this statement. He says, when one door closes, another opens.
Cuando una puerta se cierra, otra se abre.
But we often look so long and so regrettably upon the closed door.
Pero muchas veces estamos pensando en la puerta que se cerró en vez de la que se abrió.
That we do not see the one which he has opened for us.
Que a veces no miramos la que se abre.
God directs our steps.
Dios directa nuestros pasos. Amen.
And he will speak to you even through circumstances.
Y nos habla en circunstancias.
And lastly, he'll even speak through fellow believers. Before we came back to the San Luis Valley, and with this, I'll close. Before I had left the San Luis Valley, in 1995, the Lord had begun to show me in the Spirit that there was a mountain, a huge mountain that I was going to have to climb. I knew I was going to have to climb a mountain. And in many ways, that picture was what I was going to go through and experience when I left to Bible college. I went there, graduated. Then the president of the school asked me and my wife to stay on and teach and to work in the ministry there.
And
through all those 19 years that we were there, I was climbing that mountain. In the about a year or so before we came back, God began to show me in the Spirit that now it was time to go back to the valley. There were some struggles in the midst of that where I wanted to get back to the valley. But the Lord was saying no. It's not time. It was interesting, the name of the school changed. Instead of Mount Zion, it was changed to Summit. To Summit. And what that means, it's the highest point. And so the Lord began to move on my heart that it was soon to be time to go back to the valley. And every year we would have revival services with Pastor Carter Conlon, the senior pastor of Times Square Church. Revivamiento, campañas. He came and he began to preach from Ezekiel. Of Ezekiel. And he began to talk about there needs to be someone that stands in the gap. And I don't remember all of the message. But through that message, my wife and I knew that it was time to speak to the president and say, we're leaving. It was on Amos's birthday. And it was the next day I spoke to the president of the school, Teresa Conlon. And we told them, we're going to leave Summit. It was one of the hardest things that we ever did. Not because we didn't want to come here.
No, porque querían venir aquí.
But when you have left the valley for 19 years, you've got to come back and start all over again. And all we had was his word, go.
Y todo lo que ellos tenían era la voz que les decían, vaya.
Over there we had job security.
Allá tenían seguridad de trabajo.
And we left everything to follow the Lord.
Y dejaron todo para seguir al Señor.
We've come, and here we've been here at this church for 5 years already.
Vinieron y están aquí, ya tienen 5 años aquí en esta iglesia.
And God opened the door for us to come right in. Amen.
Y Dios abrió la puerta para entrar aquí.
It's amazing.
Maravilloso.
God wants to speak to you.
Dios quiere hablar contigo.
He doesn't just want to talk to your pastor.
No quiere más hablar con el pastor.
He doesn't want to just speak to Sister Cecilia and Brother Henry.
No quiere hablar con la hermana Cecilia y Brother Henry.
He wants to speak to you.
Quiere hablar contigo.
Amen. Amen. Let's stand.